Good morning. The Bible reading today is from Philippians 1, 1 to 11. It can be found in your pew Bibles on page 950. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Here ends the reading.
Thanks, Peter. If you hadn't met Peter before, he's been with us for about a year now, Peter. Have you been coming? Close to a year, and Peter's in my home group, so nice to get newer people up reading the Bible and being involved as well. It's great to have him reading the scriptures. Friends, there is something very appealing, even contagious, about passionate, gospel-centered men and women. People like Robin Garlick, who has served so passionately for 25 years, like Liambo Zhang that we mentioned last week, who has now served us for 10 years here. Or I think of Tim and Val Nicholson, who served Christ in mission in Nepal for countless years. But more, it's not just those who are paid in employment or missionaries. It's people like you who have loved and served Jesus with your time, your talents, and your treasures for 5 years, for 10 years, for 25, for 50 plus years. Because God wants to change the world through faithful and obedient servants, men and women who love and serve to bring glory to Jesus. Now, I've gone to this passage today in Philippians 1. We had a sort of an off week with this celebration because there's something about Paul's encouragement in these verses that we would find joy in gospel partnership. Because Paul was such a person who gave himself to the work of the gospel. Paul and the Philippians, they knew each other. They loved each other. And you want that in a church and in a partnership, whether it's missionaries in a local church or whether within the church. 10 years earlier, Paul had been in their midst founding the church. 10 years earlier, he had been stripped and flogged severely. 10 years earlier, he had been tossed into jail, though he had committed no crime. 10 years earlier, they'd seen God at work pulling together a small group of young Christians in a unique and prosperous Roman colony known as Philippi in eastern Macedonia. But now he was in Rome, and now he is in chains as he writes his letter. It is 60 to 62 AD. 10 years later, they still loved him. They still shared in the ministry of the gospel with him. And he loved them with a deep, deep affection. So important that spiritual leaders love their people and the people love their spiritual leaders and partner with them. So Paul writes a beautiful, warm-hearted, friendly letter to a group of people he loved. And as Gordon Fee writes, the letter has to do primarily with their partnership or participation together in the advance of the gospel. And so I want you this morning to rejoice in your partnership in the gospel. As we serve Christ together with something like 1,000 people who count this church as their home. Not to count all the hundreds of people that we are serving through our various ministries. To see that we are in this together for his glory. Paul and Timothy's servants of Christ Jesus, he says, to all God's holy people, all to all of God's saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls them saints. He calls them set apart ones. That's what we are. We are holy ones of God, set apart by God to be involved in his ministry. St. Angelo, St. Rachel, St. Tim, St. Mary. You ever thought of yourself as a saint? Think of yourself as a saint, not as a sinner. Get that right here this morning. In Christ, you're no longer described as a sinner. God has dealt with your sin. You are now a saint, a holy one, a chosen one, set apart for God and his work. We are saints. But having done the introduction, I don't want to focus on that this morning. He says this, I thank my God every time I remember you. That's amazing to say that. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Prayer, thanksgiving, joy all come together for Paul as he remembers the Philippians. We also say he has happy memories of the people. There's no bitterness in this letter. There's no frustration. They're mates, as we say in Australia. Friends, people he can trust. But he does something very special here. Paul thanks God, to whom all glory is due, in front of the people to affirm and encourage them. That's what we tried to do with Robin this morning. We thank God for what he has done in and through her to the glory of God, that she would be encouraged and continue that work in the gospel. Let me say this morning that I thank God for you. Brothers and sisters, a common mission, common vision, common purpose in this community, in this time in history, for the glory of God. Look around you. That's a command. Take a moment, look around you. See who's sitting next to you, who's behind you, who's in front of you. All ages, all cultures, all experiences. And God has brought us together. Some of you do life together in home groups. Some of you are pastors, some of you are deacons. Some serving kids or youth or music or morning tea or pastoral care or computer groups or playtime or craft or SRE or missions, and some of you on the Alpha team. We're seeking to see people reach for Jesus in May and June this year as part of the Alpha team. If you'd love to do the course, sign up. We'd love to have you sign up. Look around you. You give financially to support the local church. Something like 1.2 million in offerings last year. Over 100,000 to our main mission appeal. Over 140,000 specifically to the property last year. Many of you sponsored children in the developing world to alleviate poverty. Some of you personally support missionaries to get them on the field. Thank you. Baptist World Aid, Compassion. You support each other through grief and celebrate through the joys of life. I say, look around you. This is who we are in God. Are you filled with prayer, thanksgiving, and joy for your partnership in the gospel? Do you come and, I got up early this morning. My cat woke me at 4:30. She thought it was 5:30. If only cats could understand daylight saving time. So I fed her to get her out of my way. And then I was up at 6:15, so excited I could get to church today. I was so excited I got here about 7:30, set up everything, open up everything, sound out the sound system, the air conditioning, the doors, the toilet. So excited to be here. Did you get up earlier this morning and go, oh, I can't wait to be in the house with God's people, singing, praying, worshiping, honoring Robin, celebrating the Lord's Supper together? Seeing you. When I see your faces come in, and I say, here's that brother or sister in Christ, you see. I met some new brothers and sisters in Christ this morning. And God's got new people here this morning. After the service, look around. When I say look around and say hello, invite them. We have a bigger morning tea this morning, by the way. No vanilla slices or custard tarts, but caramel slices and some chocolate and some eclairs and a few other things to celebrate Robin's. I didn't bake any of them, I just bought them, okay? Brought them in. Come with us afterwards as we celebrate together. But will you thank God for each other in front of each other? When you do that, that's the way, sometimes you need that encouragement, someone to say something affirming, to say, thank you for what you do. Well, I've noticed that. I noticed how you went and spent time with that person that no one else spent time with, or that new person. I noticed you didn't talk to your friends this morning. You went straight to care for a new person. That's good and godly. Notice things. You see, we need to be men and women with eyes open, noticing things. Noticing where the needs are, who needs help and encouragement, who needs a visit during that week. Not just from the pastors, but through the family of God. Over 450 people in home Bible study groups. That's where you do most of your care, right? We partner in gospel work. The lost are saved. People are loved. The needy are fed and clothed. Their missionaries are prayed for and supported. A young man was baptized last week. Two teenagers are being baptized tonight. And they've grown through our families here from Christ into kids' church, into high school, and now going to testify to faith in Jesus Christ. That's what we're about. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Inside the church and bring the outside, people from outside coming in as well. And yesterday, Robin Garlick baptized another couple of people in a swimming pool. And someone else came here, spoke to me, thinking about baptism as well, saying, come to Jesus, be baptized, be added to the church. That's what we're on about. But what's Paul's basis for thanksgiving and joy? It is about the gospel. That's what Paul is excited about. Not that they support the same football team or they love the same type of theatre or they go to the play together. I mean, they're all good things. Sydney FC had a win last night, finally. But you see, sure, we don't all have the same interests and hobbies, but God puts the most unusual group of people, did I just call you unusual? Brings the most unusual group of people together and says, you're now family. Work it out. Work out how to accept one another, love one another, enjoy your differences. Gospel partnership, verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. They've supplied his material needs. We know that in chapter 4. They've shared in spreading the gospel itself and through prayer. And as we support others, local ministry, overseas ministry, God is honoured. You know, we've been praying for our workers in Southeast Asia to purchase a piece of land. The Education Foundation group that we've been working through and supporting for some 15 or 20 years now, I was there last year, I saw this piece of land. They said, Ange, this is what we're praying for. And in that country, it takes a fair bit to get through all the political systems and the government system to get the land. Last Friday, David said to me, will you pray? We need one more signature by last Friday. If we don't get it, then we have to start all over again. The final authority signed off last Friday. Our mission there in Southeast Asia has now purchased the land in a foreign country under a different foundation. We're able to now to start to build a centre some 15, 20 years in the planning and praying. And we are partners together. I've seen the land. Now I'm imagining what will go up there and we will let you know more about that in our May mission appeal this year. Gospel partnership, confidence in God, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul is confident that God who started a work, notice that he began a good work in you, that's a work of salvation. If you come to faith in Jesus, God has begun that work, you are saved. Acts 16, the Lord opened Lydia's heart to respond to Paul's message. God takes the initiative, brings us to faith. But he won't just leave us there. God will continue his work. He will carry it on. Be assured, walk assured, as we've said the last 8 weeks, that God who has saved you will continue his work in you. And God doesn't stop his work in us. Some of the photographs in the video there about was the COVID period. Someone says to me, how did you go during the COVID period? It was tough. But guess what? God did not stop his work during COVID. We still gathered on Zoom. I was still preaching to nobody in this building. About five or six of us. I learned just to preach to a camera. We learned, and now we have continuous live stream, and welcome to those who are on live stream this morning. Thanks for joining with us and worshiping with us. And many of you started to give your donations online, so we don't have a lot of cash on site, which is probably much safer. 90% of our offering now goes online. We learned, we grew, we trusted God. God was not going to let us go. He enabled us to persevere, and he will bring it to completion. He'll carry on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul can see evidence in the Philippians that God was at work, continuing to work, and there was a brilliant future ahead. Friends, we must put our confidence in God and persevere even when life is tough. We are tempted to doubt God. When life is frustrating, we must put our confidence in God. He will finish the job. He will get us to heaven by his grace and his mercy. Just to let you know, I'm only dealing with point one today, and we're going to go to the Lord's Supper. Chuck Swindoll, in his book Laugh Again, talks about going through tough times. What do you do? He says, how do we live with worry and stress and fear? How do we withstand these joy stealers? And he reads Philippians 1 verse 6. He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. He says, let me be downright practical and tell you what I do. First, I remind myself early in the morning and on several occasions during the day, God, you're at work and you are in control. And Lord God, you know this is happening. You're there at the beginning. You bring everything that occurred to a conclusion that results in your greater glory in the end. And then he says, I can relax. I have to talk to God. I have to tell him. I trust him. God, you're at work. He says, I love to tell the story of a man who fretted for 15 years over his work. He had built his business from nothing into a rather sizable operation. In fact, he had such a large plant that covered several acres. With growth and success, however, came increasing demands. Each new day brought a whole new list of responsibilities to his business. Weary of the worry, the stress and the fear, he decided finally to give it all over to God. With a smile of quiet contentment, he prayed this, Lord God, the business is yours. All the worry, the stress and the fears I release to you and your sovereign will. From this day forward, Lord, you own this business. And that night he went to bed, the most relaxed he'd ever been. In the middle of the night, that same night, the telephone rang in the middle of the night. The caller, in a panicked voice, yelled, fire! The entire place is going up in smoke. The man calmly dressed, got into his car, and drove to the plant. With his hands in his pockets, he stood there and watched, smiling slightly. As his business was going up in flames. One of his employees hurried to his side and said, what in the world are you smiling about? How can you be so calm? Everything's on fire. And I said, well, yesterday afternoon, I gave this business to God. I told him it was his. If he wants to burn it up, that's his business. Some of you read and think, that's insane. No, that is one of the greatest pieces of sound theology you can embrace. Firm confidence in God means that it is in his hands. He who started something will bear the pressure of it and will bring the results exactly as he planned for his greater glory. How could a business burned to the ground be of glory to God? You may ask. Well, sometimes the loss of something very significant, perhaps something we're a slave to, is the only way God can get our attention and bring us back to full sanity. The happiest people I know are the ones who have learned how to hold everything loosely and have given the wearisome or worrisome, stress-filled, fearful details of their lives into God's keeping. He will carry it on to completion till the day of Christ Jesus. And finally, he has a deep affection toward his fellow believers. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. Whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Paul says it's right for me to feel this way. I'm in prison, but you're with me. You're on my side. I know you're praying. I know you're thinking about me. I know you're sending resources to help me. I just feel a deep love and affection for you, he says. Friends, what an impact we would have if we could all say that about each other. What a deep love and affection I have for you. What a deep love and affection I have for you. And you look around and you say it to each other. He says, whether I'm in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me. They support him materially. They support him in prayer. He concludes, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Our missionaries, our local volunteers, one another in our home groups. May God help us to continue to find joy in gospel partnership to the glory of God, all made possible through the atoning work of Christ, our Saviour, whom we will remember and celebrate at the Lord's Supper. Amen.